we got to the bottom of Ayin Vav Amud Beis, five first wide line. Mai v'ani basi b'devercha. So the Gemara there is quoting the pasuk we said earlier from Daniel. So Gemara wants to know, what is the words mai? What is v'ani basi b'devercha? I came in your word. What does that mean exactly? So Gemara says, Hainu dichsiv v'shivim ish mizikne Beis Yisrael. There are 70 members, elders from Beis Yisrael. V'yazniu ben Shafan and Omid v'yazniu, and they heard. Ben Shafan Omid b'sochem omdim l'fneim, and Ben Shafan was standing amongst them. Omdim l'fneim v'ish miktara b'yado, and there's a man with k'toras in his hand, v'asar anan haktoras ola, and the smoke of the k'toras went up. So what is this pasuk telling us? So I'm being told here, I'm reading straight from the Masifta today. So Masifta tells me that Yechezkel saw in Mari, saw some type of vision, in Nevuah, that the honored members of Klal Yisrael were in Yerushalayim, were standing in front of Tsuros, or Smalim, in front of Psalim, in front of idols of Avodah Zarah that Bnei Yisrael themselves had made, and that they were being maktir k'toras in front of them, and it's in light of these averos that they were gozer that Gavriel needed to leave from behind the pargod. We'll see what that means in a second. So that's what this word Vani Vasi B'derecha means. Gavriel apparently was saying to Daniel, in the zechus of the words of Daniel, he was zocha to go back. Gavriel saying this, the Malach was zocha to go back to behind the pargod where he was originally, the pargod up in Shemaim, where the Shechina is. So, so again, so Gavriel, we're going to see in a second why Gavriel had been removed from behind the pargod, but somehow these averos had caused Gavriel to be removed from behind the pargod, and then something that Daniel had said allowed Gavriel to go back behind the pargod where he was. So the Gemara goes off to explain a little bit the long story about Gavriel. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel that says, "Vayishlach tavnis yad." And he sent the hand, Vayikachenu b'tzitzis roshi, and he held on to the end of the tzitzis, Vatisa osi ruach bein ha'aretz bein ha'shemayim, and the spirit of the wind took him from the ground into the sky, Vitave osi Yushalayim, and brought him to Yushalayim, b'maros elokim, and through the visions of Hashem, el pesach shah ha'pnimis ha'ponet tzvona, to the inner gate, asher shamoshav semel ha'kina ha'makna. So Yechezkel saw this vision, it looked like fire apparently, that a hand was sent out and carried him through the hairs of the head and from Babel to Yerushalayim until the entrance. He was taken from Babel to the gate of the Azara towards the north. And that place, there was an idol set up that was established that created all this jealousy. That's what this pasuk means. This is the vision that Yechezkel saw. Some semelta of a kina that was stationed right outside the gate of the Azara. And further, the Gemara says from the Yechezkel, Vayavei osi el chatzar beis Hashem apnimis. And in this vision, Yechezkel was brought to the courtyard of the beis Hashem inside. Vinei pesach hecha Hashem bein haulam uvein hamizbech. And it was at the entrance of the hecha Hashem, which was between the greater grand hallway and the mizbech. Ke'esim v'chamisha ish. There were 25 men standing there. Acharem el Heichashem, and their backs were towards the Heichal. Ufneim Kedma, and they're facing towards the east. They turned their backs towards the Heichal. V'heim Meshachem Kedma l'Shemesh, and they're bowing down to the sun. Okay, so that was the next step of the vision that Yechezkel had seen. So Gemara wants to darshan some of these psukim as follows. Mimashma Shenemar Ufneim Kedma, from the fact that the Torah tells us, the psukim Yechezkel tell us, that they're facing east. Is it not obvious that their backs were towards Heich Hashem? Why does the pasuk seem to be repetitive? What's the drasha from the extra words of Acharem El Heich Hashem, that their backs were facing Heich Hashem? They would reveal themselves, the derech bizayon, and remove their clothing. And they would go to the bathroom towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu in that direction. That's what took place in this vision that Yechezkel was seeing. And then the continuation of the story goes, Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to Michal, Michal sarcha umascha. So he says to, you know, expresses his disgust at Klal Yisrael, saying, listen, Michal, your Uma had been gone sour. Amar, so Michal responds back to Lefanav, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Da'yo L'Tovim Shebehem. So at least be mochel the ones who are good, the tzaddikim amongst them. Amar lo, ani sarif osam, u'latovim shebehem. No, I'm going to burn Klal Yisrael, and I'm going to burn the good ones with them. Miad, right away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he punished them. Vayomer el ha'ish levush habadim. Hashem said to the malach who was wearing the clothing, that was referring to Gavriel apparently. He was the malach who was in charge of fire, we've seen from other places. Vayomer bo'el beinos la'galgal tachas l'kruv. So he says to Gavriel, again, the sar, the malach of fire, go between the wings of the kruvim. Umalei chafnecha gachle eish. And fill your hands with coals of fire. Mi beinos la'kruvim. Uzrok al ha'ir, from between the kruvim, and throw them onto the city of Yerushalayim. V'yavo le'enei, and it's going to go to the eyes. This is what Yechezkel saw in the vision. So miyad, right away, va'yishlach ha'kruv es yado, mi'benos ha'kruvim el ha'ish, asher benos ha'kruvim. So he right away, Gavriel went down to the kruvim. And with his hand, and he apparently put, I'm not sure exactly how to read this, that he put the handful of fire in the clothing that he was wearing and left. He did a little bit different than what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do. Hashem said, take in your hand, gechalim, from between the kruvim, and he didn't take it on his own, rather, he told the kruv to take the esh, and the Karav took the coals. And the reason why Gavriel did this, he didn't do it himself. Rather, he told one of the Kruvim to do this, so it will cool off a little bit. So the Kruvim will take it, and then he'll hand it to Gavriel. This way it will cool off. It won't be so hot for Klal Yisrael. That's what Gavriel did. He changed what Hashem told him to do. So Amar Rav Chana Bar Bizna, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasida. So he says, El Malay Lo Nitzanu Gecholim, had the coals not been cooled off at all, Miyado shakruv, liado shagavriel, from passing it from the hand of the kruv to the hand of the Gavriel, lo nishtayru misonem shal Yisrael, started, no one would be left. All Klal Yisrael would be wiped out. It's thanks, we'll see in a second, Gavriel would be punished, but it's thanks to Gavriel that Klal Yisrael still remains, because he had this middleman of the kruv take the coals first to have it cooled off. The Gemara says, uksiv, it's written for Adon Yechezkel, vinei ha'ish levush habadim, the one who wore the clothing, which now we know refers to Gavriel. Asher ha-keses b'masnav. I'm not sure what keses b'masnav means. But meishiv davar lemor. He responded back saying, asisi kasher tzivisanu. And this is referring to Gavriel, that I did what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to do. I took the coals and I threw it on the city. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ba'osa shah, that moment, Hotzil Gavriel me'achrei ha-pargod. That moment he was kicked out from behind the pargod, the special place Gavriel was zocha to be in, he was removed immediately. Umachyu shitim pulse denura. He was lashed with 60 lashes of fire. Vamulei, and they said to him, the Pamalia Shamalia, the based in Shamal, said to Gavriel, Elo avda slavdas. If you didn't listen to Hashem, okay, you didn't listen to Hashem. You decide not to follow, but e'avdas, if you're going to listen to Hashem, amai lo avda kidevaktuch. Why do you do it like you were commanded to do it? Why do you have to change? Either don't do it or do it. But don't do something in the middle. Do it partially. V'yo, that which you, furthermore, da'avdas, that which you did, l'aslach she'im eshivin al-kalkala. After you did it, so you can't go back and say, Hashem, don't worry, I did everything. The pasuk we said before is, I did everything like Hashem commanded me to do. But you're not supposed to report back bad news. You didn't do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to do. So that was even worse, that you were trying to claim you did good, but you didn't do good. So it was for this reason that Gavriel was punished, removed from the pargod, and additionally was given 60 lashes of fire. Mark continues to explain the story and says, Aisula dubiel sarad parsa. After Gavriel was removed from behind the pargod, they brought him the Malach Duviel, that's his name. He was the in charge of the sky. Volk mibacharike, and he was stationed in the place of Gavriel. He took over Gavriel's position. V'shimesh Esrim ve'echar yom, he served for 21 days instead of Gavriel. V'hainu dechsev, this is what the pasuk in Daniel says, v'sar malchus paras omeid le'negdi esrim ve'echar yom. When Gavriel said, this was quoted in Daniel, that the sar melch pras, the sar of the Shemaim, he's the sar of pras, rather, okay. The sar pras stood in my place for 21 days. V'hinei michal echad hasarim harishon ba'al le'azreni, and michal came along to help me. So I stood there 21 days until Michal came to help me. So Yehavli Esrim Echad Malche. So in Zechus of this, the 21 days that the Sar Pras served the Kadosh Baruch Hu, he was able to have 21 kings come from him. Uparvasa Demashig. In addition to that, he was given a, it sounds like an army, like a navy. A Nemel Hamlucha. I guess it sounds like a navy.
It's really clarified for me just now. I don't know if it's clarified for you.
Not really a navy, but it seems like more of like a business that they would get, be able to get pearls from the bottom of the ocean. That was what he was Zocha to as well. V'amar k'sivu li l'Yisrael ba'karga. So then he requested further that he wanted that write to me that Yisrael is going to pay me back. I'm going to have control of Klal Yisrael, and they're going to have to pay me taxes. Kasrule, they wrote it, based in Shalmal, wrote to the Sar Pras, this edict. Sivalor Abanan Bakarga, Kasrule. Then he says further, write for me that the Chachamim are also going to have to...
Each of the four has
this one is...
Yeah,
that I'm also able to collect from the Tamei Chachamim, because the Gemara Basra tells me that normally the Tamei Chachamim is exempt from paying taxes. The Sar Pras wanted further, they wanted the Tamei Chachamim also to pay. So Kisrule, they wrote this also, they granted this request to the Sar of Pras as well. Now, Be'inna Debay Lemichtim, the moment that they wanted to be Chosim on the Gzera to sign off on this decree, Omid Gavriel Machoya Pargod, Gavriel stood from behind the Pargod. V'amar, he says, is it really true that such a nation is able to rule over the Chachmei Yisrael to collect taxes? Doesn't the pasuk say, Shav lachem mashkim ekum me'acharei sheves ochli lechem hatavim kein itein li dido shena? Pasuk means, so Gemara explains, what does it mean, kein itein li dido shena? So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Elu Nishoseim Shal Tamid HaChachamim. These are the wives of the Tamid HaChachamim. Mishem Minado Shena Baolam Hazeh. They wait up for their husbands from the base medrashas to come home late. They lose sleep. V'zochas Laolam Haba, and for simply waiting up and losing sleep for their husbands, they're zochas to Olam Haba. V'lo Shkichu Alav. So Gabriel was saying, how is it possible that we allow a Tsar of Pras to have control over the Tamei Chachamim? Look at the great zechuyos that they have, that the women wait up for them, and there's Zoch to Olam Haba to show the great respect. So we shouldn't let them be handed over to the Pras, Malchus Pras. Nonetheless, V'chilo Hishkichu Alav. They didn't listen to the words of Gavriel, and the Pamal Yishamala wrote the signed off on the Gzera that the Pras was able to collect taxes from Israel, in addition to the collect taxes from the Talmidei Chachamim. And then continuing the story, the Gemara says, "V'amar Lefanav." Gavriel says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Ribono Sha'olam, im yu kol chachmei umos ha'ulam bechaf maznaim." If all the wise members of the rest of the world were on one side of the scale, v'Daniel ish chamudos, the pure individual Daniel, bechaf shni on the other side of the scale, lo nimsa machrias kulam. But you're not going to find that Daniel is going to beat them out and weigh them down through his great chochma and tzidkus. So then, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, mi huzeh shem lamid zuchus al banai. Who is this malch who's making a zuchus for my children, my son Daniel? Am lufan of ribono sholam Gavriel. Am lehem yavo. Come back, return to your position behind the pargod. Shenem arvani vasi b'tavrecha. So I am going to come back with your words. So, in other words, there's a chus, this is Gavriel saying, there's a chus that I said about you, Daniel, I was zocha to go back to my position. So, Amar Lahu, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, to Pamal Yishamala, Le'ul allow Gavriel to enter back to the pargod, Ailu, and they let him back in. So then Asa, in that time when Gavriel went back to the pargod, Ashche le Dubiel, he found Dubiel. This Dubiel, again, he was the name of the Sar of Pras. He was in the position for 21 days. So he found that he was holding on to this Igeris, Ligarta Biyade, the Igeris that he was able to collect taxes from the Klai Yisrael and the Chachamim. Bola Mirme Mine, Gavriel wanted to take it from him and to erase it. Ubala, but then Dubiel, quick summary, Michtav Hava Ksiva, it was written. Michtam Lavaha Chasmen. Others say it was written, but it was never signed off on. Others say it was actually signed off on. But when the Dubiel swallowed it, it got erased. The chasim got erased. This is what it says. That's why it was said in the kingdom of Pras, there were those who paid and those who didn't pay. This is a machlok, is exactly what happened in Shemaim, whether there is a requirement to pay the taxes to Pras or not. And then finally, Gavriel says to Daniel, "Ani yotzei v'hinei sar yavan ba." So I'm leaving when the time of Malchus Yavan comes. Malchus Yavan was given granted control of the world, so I'm forced to leave, and the sar Yavan is going to take my place behind the pargod. Avi avi. So Gavriel starts to scream, "Vileke dashik bay," but nobody listened to him. Okay, so this is the story of Gabriel and Daniel. Interesting story. Tough to read inside, but the story overall, I think we got the basic gist of things, where again, Gabriel was told to wipe out. Let's recap. That there was a Avodah Zarah in the Heichal, and Gabriel was told to destroy Klal Yisrael with the fire, and Gabriel told the crew to pick up the fire and then hand it to Gabriel. So that cooled off the fire, so it didn't wipe out all of Klal Yisrael. But since he didn't listen to the words of Hashem, so then he was punished. He was punished by being removed from behind the pargod. So instead of that, the Dubiel, the Sar Pras, was stationed there for 21 days. Then Gavriel was, when Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy all Klal Yisrael, while Dubiel was up there, he asked to collect money, taxes from all of Klal Yisrael, and he also wanted to collect taxes from the Talmidei Chachamim. He was granted that. And then came along Gavriel and said, "Wait a second, how could you grant him such power? Look what the Talmid Chachamim, look what the wives of the Talmid Chachamim do. Look what Daniel is. Daniel weighs out, he's stronger, smarter, and greater than all of the Chachmei Umas Olam." Kadosh Baruch was very happy that someone's coming to bring a zechus for his children, particularly Daniel. So Gavriel was zocher back to that place, and then somehow it got erased, this gzera was erased from this letter. Okay. Now we're back to regular Gemara. Ibai Seimo, that's where we are. I have to look in the Gemara side now. Ibai Seimo, yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So Gemara before I told us yesterday, what was the source that Rechitza was considered an Inoy? Holding back was considered Inoy, and we said before, Sach Lo Sachti. The double Lashon Sach Lo Sachti, just say Lo Sachti. I didn't anoint myself with any oil. Sach Lo Sachti, the double Lashon tells me there's an additional Inoy as well. That was referring to Rechitza. That's how we see Rechitza is also considered an Inoy. So Gemara says, Vibais Eim, alternatively, I could suggest Rechitza to Ikrei Inoy. How do I know Rechitza, or the lack of bathing, is considered an Inoy? Minalan. Mihacha Dechsev, the Pasuk says, Ula of Yasar HaKoin Amar HaMelech Ansus Lecha El Sadecha Kiish Maves Ata Uvayom Hazeh Lo Amisecha Kinasas Es Aron Hashem Elokim Lefnei David Avi V'chisansi V'chol Asher Esana Avi. So this is a Pasuk in Melachim where so Shlomo killed his brother Adoniyahu, because Adoniyahu wanted to rebel with, he wanted to take over as the king. Eviasar Kohen was advising Adoniyahu. Let's see. So Shlomo says to Eviasar, he says to Eviasar, go back to the city of Ansos. Well, these psukim are hard. I wish I knew Tanakh better. So what is it, what's Pshat in the Pasuk here, the English here? So he says...
Basically, he says you committed treason, so you're deserving to die.
Mm-hmm.
But because you carried the Aron of Hashem with Nedavir Avi, and because Hisanisa b'kol asher hisana Avi, because you were afflicted in all that my father was afflicted.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, I'm not going to kill you.
Okay, so when he ran away, so he was when David was running away from Avshalom, so then he was with him in that inoy. Okay, uksib baby David. So we see Avyasar had some type of inoy. So which inoy did he experience with David? Uksib baby David. It says in regards to David, ki amru ha'am ra'eva ayef v'tamei b'amidbar. Pasuk says they sent earlier it says they sent honey and butter and stuff to David, and the nation said, he's hungry, he's tired, he's thirsty in the desert. So these are three types of things, hungry, tired, and thirsty. And that's what he was referring to, Shlomo was referring to, of the Inui. So the Gemara says, Ra'ev milechem, he was hungry from food, from bread, Tzame mimayim, from water, Ayef mimay, what was he, Ayef from, what does that mean exactly? What's that coming to include? What's a third Inui? Says the Gemara, Mimai lav mi rechita must be a third type of inoy. Must be referring to he was tired and wasn't able to bathe. That's the source that rechita refers to inoy. Gemara says, "What do you mean? Dilma, it could be an open question. Dilma mi nilas sandal. Maybe he inoy. He was tired because he didn't have leather shoes on his feet. That's a very good understanding of why a person might be tired. So Gemara says you're right. That's not a good proof. Ela amar Rabbi Yitzchak mihacha from here. Mayim karim al nefesh ayefa. So cold water." On the soul, so we see lashon ayefa referring to mayim. So we see ayef refers to rechitza elsewhere. So too when it talked about David being ayef, that inoy must be referring to rechitza as well. The dilma mishasiya, maybe it means he was tired from being thirsty. Miksiv binefesh ayefa al nefesh ayefa ksiv. It doesn't say binefesh in the nefesh that he was drinking inside. He was tired. Al hanefesh on the nefesh on the outside. He was tired. He didn't have the ability to do rechitza. That's what we see from the second pasuk. So we could go back and interpret the pasuk of Avayef in regards to David, saying that Ayef there means also he didn't have the ability to take a bath. Then the Gemara asks, "Vinila sandal minalan." How do I know nila sandal is also called an inoy? Dichsiv David ola bimala hazesim ola uboche. He went up to the steps of the olives. He went up and cried. Veroshlo. Chafoy yichaf. So in his head was let's see, Rosh Yaf. Where did that line go? But chafoy means like bent over, I think. V'hu olich yachif, and he walked yachif. So what does it mean? Yachif mimay. Yachif
bare.
Okay, his head was bare, and his feet was also bare. So yachif mimay. What was he a bare of on his feet? Lab minilas a sandal, so we see he must not have been wearing leather shoes on his feet. So we see that must be some type of inui. The Dilma Gemara says maybe it means misusio martika. Maybe what it means he walked bare. He walked bare of a horse and a wagon, but maybe he had shoes on his feet. El amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak mehacha. From here, the pasuk says leich upitachta hasa. Go and open up the bag. Umeal masnecha. V'nalcha sachlos me'al raglech, and remove the shoes from on your feet. Uksiv, as written, v'yas kein haloch arom v'yachef, and he walked naked but and without shoes on his feet. So yachef mimai, what does it mean? Lav minilas sandal. Does it not mean here also that we see that it says remove your remove your shoes, and it goes on to say v'yachef. So masi yachef is the description of person walking without shoes. The Gemara says maybe it means ve'ema b'minolim hamutulam. Maybe it means he has to wear ripped shoes. He mean he wasn't wearing good shoes, he was wearing ripped shoes, but not that he wasn't wearing any shoes. Because if you don't say that way, Aram Amish, so when the public says Aram, does it really mean he was completely naked, didn't wear any clothing? That can't be the case. Ella, what do you mean Aram? It was Bibigadim Bloom. He's wearing worn out, torn clothing. Hachanami b'menalam ha-metulam. So too, when it's referring to removing shoes, it didn't mean remove shoes entirely. It means remove good shoes, but wear bad shoes. So too, it says remove good clothes, but wear bad clothes. So there's not a riot from here that this is referring to nilas ha-sando. So el amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak mihacha from another pasuk in Yirmiyah that says mini ragleich miachif ugorach mitzima. Hold back your feet from wearing from yachif, from wearing shoes, ugonech, and your throat from thirst. So it's telling you don't do these things. Rather, you should wear shoes, whatever the context is. You should wear shoes and you should drink something. So mini atzmich min hachet, hold yourself back from sin. There's that interpretation. Kidei shel yavo raglich lidei yichuf. So you don't have to go into gullus and walk without shoes. Umine lishanech midvarm betelim, and hold back your from speaking bad or wasteful things. Kidei shel yavo gronech lidei tzima. So too, you don't have to go in gullus without having anything to drink water. From here, we see apparently that that must be referring to yachif. In this context, must be referring to walking without shoes. And don't tell me it means wearing ripped clothing, because apparently the way it was done, when a person goes into galus, he was supposed to wear no shoes at all. Galus was meant to be without any shoes. Okay, that's according to Tosas Yishanim and the Marsha say that. Okay, going further, not an easy daf. Tashmish Amita Diikre Inoy Minol. How do we know that Tashmish Amita, or refraining from it, is considered Inoy? The Pasuk says, in regards to Lavan, right, when Lavan and Yaakov ran away from Lavan, and Lavan finally caught up, so he says to him, Im Tanes Benosai, Vim Tikach Noshim Al Benosai. So don't hold back any Tashmish from them, and don't get any additional wives either to cause them pain. So, Gemara's im taneh mitashmish, don't cause him pain from holding back tashmish from my daughters. Vim tikach mitaros, and don't marry other wives to create taros, to create competition. So that's we see that the whole refraining from tashmish is considered an inoy. V'ema, maybe you could say idi v'idi mitaros. Maybe both of them are referring to taros. It's a double warning of. Don't marry more women to create more competition for them. So Gemara says, Miksiv im tikach, v'im tikach. It doesn't say im tikach, it's v'im. And they're two separate points, not one continuous point. So therefore, the first one must be referring to Inoy from Tashmish. V'ema idiv idim mitzaros, chad litzaros didei, v'chad litzaros didasin lei, me'alma. Maybe both referring to tsaros, but there are two types of tsaros. One is referring to tsaros that comes from the tsaros that you already have, the multiple wives you already have. Don't make the shvachos equal to my daughters. And number two is don't marry additional wives to create more tzaros as well. So that's perhaps what it means, and nothing to do with it. Inoy referring to tashmish. Dumya dim tikach. It has to be similar to im tikach. Miksiv, what has that? That's a that's part of the question. Let's see. Right, because the pasuk says im tana should be similar to im tikach. It's the same pasuk. Just like im tikach is referring to tsaros, so too im tana should be referring to tsaros, and nothing to do with tashmish. The Gemara says miksiv im tikach vimtana im tana vimtikach ksiv. If you had a different order, you'd be right. If it first wrote im tikach first and then im tana afterwards, it made sense that because im tikach is referring to tsaros, im tana is also referring to tsaros. But since first it says im tana first and then im tikach, so you're not forced into saying im tan is referring to tsaros that's referred to in the very next half of the pasuk. So therefore, it can't be referring to that. They must be talking about two different types of things. One referring to inoy of tashmish. One referring to inoy of tsaros. Amrei Rav Papa Labaye, ha tashmish gufei ikre inoy. Tashmish itself is considered inoy, and as opposed to refraining from tashmish, but rather itself is considered Inoy. Dichsiv v'yishkav osa v'yaneha. In regards to Shechem and Dina, so Shechem had raped Dina and slept with her and caused her a lot of pain. So we see itself, Tashmish Mita is painful. Amle hasam she'ina mivios acheros. So there's referring to bios acheros, I think via Shaloka Darka they explain, right? Or maybe it's referring to that it was for, it was, she was raped, it was forced upon her, that's why that was considered an Inoy. No, I'm sorry. That it was, he refrained from additional ones. Once there was Tashmish with Shechem and Dina, she wanted to have more Tashmish, and he held back from giving her additional Tashmish. That's what it means there. But now that the etzem of Tashmish is considered an Inoy, that particular case was additional, holding back of Tashmish was the Inoy in that case as well. The Gemara says now, how are we doing with time? 35, okay, long daf ahead of us still. Taner Rabbanon. Aser lirchotz miksas gufo b'kachol gufotz. Aser on Yom Kippur to wash even part of the body, just like it's aser to wash the entire body. However, v'im hayam luchlach batit u'vitzoe, rochetz kedarcho v'enechoshesh. But if, however, a person's dirty, he's able to wash off the dirt or the mud and in the regular way, and he's not concerned of any iser of rechitza. Then the Gemara says, aser losuch miksas gufo b'kachol gufo. Additionally, there's an iser to even to smear some oil even in part of your body, just like it's usher to pour oil over your entire body. But if he's a sick person, or he has some type of nits or lice in his hair, he's able to put oil on his body if it's for derech refuah. The only problem of rechitza and sicha is only derech tanug when you're getting hana. But when it's not for derech tanug, it's for cleaning purposes, or it's for refuah purposes, both of them are permitted. Tana the Beit Midrasha teaches us, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Midicha Isha Yadas Achas B'mayim, V'nosa Pas Latinok V'inuchos Sheshes. So she's able to wash one hand of hers in water and give that to her son. And the reason is, Rashi explains, because the Ruach Ra that's on her hands is going to go into the bread. She takes it if she doesn't wash her hands in the morning. So if there's no Negev Asa took place in the morning, she's supposed to wash her hands and give it the bread to her son because it was Sakana. Amru alav al shama hazakin shel ratzu lahachil b'yado achas. He didn't want to give food with one hand. The gazru alav lahachil b'sheyadaim, and he was gozer to wash both hands, not simply one hand, because you never know, because perhaps you might end up using the second hand. So therefore, wash both hands in the morning, because the danger is so imminent of not washing your hands. He required that both hands be washed, even though you might only use one hand. My time, what's the reason for all this? Samrabaye mishum shibasa. Because of shibasa, shibasa was some type of shade. Rashi tells us that was shoron. When you wake up in the morning, there's the shade that's on the hands. By washing negavasa three times or four times, according to the gra on each hand, that removes the shade and allows you to eat. But if you don't remove the shade, touching food is going to be a problem. Okay, so there's an important tosos here, but let's try to get through. Maybe we can do it afterwards. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara says, Haholech lahakvi opnei aviv, opnei rabo, opnei misha gadol mimenu. Person on Yom Kippur wants to go greet his father or his Rebbe or someone who's a big Taman Chacham. What's he supposed to do on Yom Kippur? So he's allowed to over at Savara b'mayim. He's allowed to go through a river up until the water is as high as his neck, nothing deeper than that. V'enechoshesh, he's not concerned with the problem of rechitza. Isn't he getting washed through the river? No, because that's not his intentions. He's going for Mikabel Pnei Rabo. The only problem is, to get there, you need to get wet. So that's permitted.
Why wouldn't they say that? That's something you could have done the day before and gone through.
Uh-huh.
You know, like preparing for Shabbos, if you do something the day before, if you could do something the day before, you should do it the day before.
Right, well, maybe he didn't know that his father, Rebbe, was there. In Echanami, maybe if he did know, he'd have to go beforehand. Let's see.
Okay, one way to go.
I'm just taking a quick look, see if anything pops up while I'm here. But nothing. Okay. Well, one question they bring here is, isn't there a problem? Is there schita? You're not allowed to saturate any clothing because it might come to squeeze it out. Why is that permitted here? That's a question. But I didn't see your question brought down here. Maybe in the back it's discussed. And the Gemara continues and says, "Ibailu harav etel Talmud ma'i." Let's say the Rebbe, wants to go visit the Talmud. Is he allowed to do that? So Gemara says, Tashma, the Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Barchana, Ana Chazisa li Ziri, Isa Ziri, the Azal Agavi Rav Chia bar Ashi Tamidai. I observed that Ziri, the Rebbe, went to go visit Rav Chia on Yom Kippur, and I guess apparently must have went through a river as well. Rav Ashi Amar Hahu Rav Chia bar Ashi, who the Azal Agavi, the Ziri, Rabbe, wrong. Gavi, the opposite. It was the Talmud who went to go visit the Rebbe. So Rav Ashara Lebnei Avar Yamana Lemevar Bemailin Tur Piri. So Rav had an additional heter. In addition to going through the river to go visit your Rebbe, your father, or great Talmud Chacham, he permitted the city of Avar Yamina to go through the river to go watch over their peros, their fruit. They wanted to make sure no people would steal it. That too also, the Hezber, the explanation is, because it wasn't for Tanug you're going into the water, you're going for the Shomer Peros. That was for that was permitted according to Rava. Tanya de Mesai Lecha, I have a brayis that supports you. Shomer Peros Ovrim Ad Savarim B'mayim Vein Choshen. First brayis that says the same thing. You're allowed to go through the river in Yom Kippur to go protect your fruit. Rav Yosef Shara Lehula B'nei Beib Tarbo. He permitted this following city. Lemevar B'maya Lemesi Lepirka Lemesa Lo Sharile. He permitted them to go to another city to hear a shir, but to come back, he did not permit them. So I'm Lebai Im Kain Atamav Shilin Lasalavo. If you don't allow them to return, you're going to be machshu them in the future. In the future, they're not going to go. They said, listen, I want to go here this year. But they made me stay there the rest of Yom Kippur. I can't go back to my house. I'm not going to go the next year. So for that reason, he said, you're allowed to even go back. Ikadami, there are those who say, Shar l'hulameze, v'shar l'hulameze. No, he actually allowed them to go and then come back on Yom Kippur. Even though the coming back, going through the water, was not for the purpose of the Talmud Torah, but it was really because it's going to help the Talmud Torah for next year. It was all considered part of the same heter of permitting to go into the water for the Talmud Torah. Amar le'Abaye Bishma le'Meisi l'Chaye. So Abaye responded according to this Ikadamri. I understand you allow them to go. That makes sense. They want to hear Talmud Torah. Le'Meisi my time. But why do you allow them to come back? So that's where he responds. Kidei shalotei machshil l'asid lavo. This way they don't get... Next year, they'll say, wait a second, I wasn't allowed to come home, I'm not going to go next year. This way, they'll go next year as well. We permitted them to go back home. Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel bar Rav, Yehuda, Havakaime Aguda Dinar. They were standing, these two Rabbanim, or three of them, that's two of them, yeah, were standing on the side of the river, the banks of the river. Amavra de Chatzdad. That was the place of the river, particular area of the bank. Havakai Rami bar Papa Mehachisa, Rav Papa was standing on the other side. Rami bar Papa was standing on the other side. Ramal Hu Kala. He screams out across the river, Ma'u le'mevar le'mesi le'gavaychu le'mishal shmaisa, can I cross the river now to come ask you a shaila? So I'm not sure why he didn't ask them just across the way. It must have been, I guess, a longer discussion. So the response was, Amar le'Rav Yehuda Rav u'Shmuel damru tevayu, both Rav and Shmuel both hold, over, you're allowed to come across. U'vavad shlo yotzi yodo mitachas chavis chaluko, as long as you don't remove your hand from the shirt you were wearing. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, Metachas Chafas, that's towards the bottom, Rashi, it's around 15 lines from the bottom, Sfas Chaluko, Lahagbia Shulei Chaluko Al Zro'o, Deino Nira Kimalvosh El Kinose Al Ksefo. So you can't lift, I guess they wore robes, that says, you can't lift the bottom of your robe higher up than your arm, because then it seems like you're actually carrying something as opposed to wearing something. You're allowed to wear things, of course, outside in air, but you can't carry things. Even though you're wearing it, you're just holding it up. So you're right, you're still wearing it, mikker than it's permitted, but it gives the appearance as if you're carrying something, and carrying something certainly is awesome midir isa outside in air. So make sure you don't lift it up too much, your robe. Ikadami, others have a version as follows. Amalei Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda, Tanin, the Mishnah tells us, over. Okay, same statement. The question is, who are they quoting? Was it in the name of the Mishnah, or was it in the name of Rav and Shmuel, who said this halacha that you can pass through the river? So, Maskevla Rav Yosef, u'bechol ki agav mishari? Is this permitted even during the weekday? Forget Yom Kippur. Forget the issues of Rechitza, the issues of Hotzah, the issues of Shechita. What about during a regular weekday? There are no problems of any malacha. Is that really permitted? Mishari? V'haksiv, doesn't the pasuk tell us, v'yamed elaf bama, v'yavarinu b'mayim? This is a pasuk found where? In Yeshayahu. So I'm going to need back to my sifter for this one. Yecheskel, oh yeah, rather. Oh, Yecheskel, okay. Yeah, Yecheskel, I see that, okay. So the pasuk says, Vayomad elef b'ama, vayavirin b'maim mi efsim. So mikan, from here we learn, shemutr la'avor ad afsaim. You could pass to the river up until Afsayim. What's Afsayim?
Ankles.
Ankles, okay. That's the deepest you could go. Vayamed elaf vayavirin b'maim, maim b'chaim, another pasuk says, mikan shemotu l'avor al b'chaim. That pasuk says you could go even though it's knee-deep. Then another pasuk says, this is all in Yecheskel, right? Yeah, one after the next. Vayamad elaf vayavirinu, he was testing up the waters. Again, I don't know the context at all, but he was testing how deep the waters were. Vayamed elaf vayavirinu me'masayim, then he got up to his hips. Mikan shemotu l'avor al masayim. That's vayamad elaf nachle asher lo'ucha l'avor. From that point on, you can't go. So it seems from Yecheskel that you're only allowed to go into the river when it's only the waist high. But beyond that, higher than that, that's not permitted. So how are you allowed to pass through if it's as high as your neck, even during a regular weekday? Isn't it sakana? So I'm rabbi, shiny nachal diradifi v'maya. No, the nachal that Yecheskel was referring to was full of rapids. That was very dangerous. That could pull you under. But it came to a regular, a calm river, then a person's allowed to swim. There's no problem with swimming at all. Swimming's completely permitted. You have to know how to swim at least. But only when it's the rapids are pretty strong, the current is very strong, that's where it's usher if it's above your waist level. So I wonder if this is an issue when going into the ocean. In general, in the ocean, is that how strong is the current? Maybe it depends on that day. Or maybe in general you shouldn't go into the ocean. I don't know.
Well, they put up warning signs when they have riptide. They say don't go in.
Right. I remember a few years ago, they had a whole, right before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, they sent out an email, don't go to Long Beach or Atlantic Beach into the mikvah because it was very cold and windy and the current was very strong. But I wonder whether or not, does that apply only when the current is very strong, or in general, a person shouldn't go into the ocean because it has the ability to become dangerous. I don't know.
I was not sure when I go into the—
Well, that was a river. It wasn't an ocean. It didn't have like waves, so it could have been a calm river. I don't think the Yom Tov had waves.
If Paro's chasing after you, you're allowed to go in.
Right. Nefesh. So then the Gemara says, Yochel Yavirenu Besichoi. Okay, maybe go Besichoi, Beshayit, in a boat. Rashi says maybe you could go in a boat. Tamilomar is
they
still in.
They play the swimming. I don't know where they got that from. So yeah. Rashi said.
Isn't a shayit a boat? Oh, I see. Shchia. I have also here it means to swim. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe shayit doesn't mean to swim. Then maybe it means shchia to shchia. Maybe it means to swim. Okay, so maybe you thought you could swim. You can't walk in such a river that's higher than your waist. Then maybe you're able to swim. Tamilomar ki go hamayim mi sachu. That they're so strong from the water from swimming, I guess. That tells me that you can. My meisach, what does that mean? Sheyuto, shekein karin l'shayata, sayacha. So sachu means sheyuto, which means swimming. People call swimming sayacha. Either way, all these things, the pasuk is telling me that meisach means a person shouldn't swim in these rapids. Yachol yavrenu b'borni. Oh, this is what it means. Maybe you could pass in a boat. Kitana, a small little boat, a little kayak or something, canoe. Tamalomar, bal telech bo any shayit. So I won't go in a small. Here, shayit means boat. Okay, so you can't go in a boat either. This is passing in shayit though. Yachol yavrenu be brunia. Maybe I go gadol. Maybe I go in a large boat. Tamalomar vitsi ader lo yavrenu. Don't go in any boat. These rapids were so powerful. Don't go in anything. So my mashma. So how do we infer this from this pasuk that you can't go in any boat, whether it's a big boat or a small boat? So Gemara says kid mitargim of Yosef. If Yosef was mitargim, that lo tezel be svina tayadim. He interpreted these words to mean boat. Don't go in any boat. U vorni rabasi lo tigozni, and vorni in a large boat don't go in either. So that's how we get the explanation of this pasuk from the Targum here that's referring to don't even go in these areas in a boat. Okay, let's see how much, still 15 minutes. Go a little further, I guess. Let's get to the top of the next half. I think we get a few lines into that. So the Gemara says now, Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi, Af Malach HaMavis Ein Lo Rishus La'avor B'socho. Even the Malach HaMavis couldn't go in this powerful river that Yechezkel is referring to. K'siv hacha bal teleich bo, ani shayit. K'siv hasam mishot habaretz. The pasuk in Eov, I think, right? Yeah. So it says lashon of shayit in Cheskel. It says lashon of shayit in regards to Eov, when the beginning of Eov talks about the Malach HaMavos would go around, the Satan, all the same thing, same person or same being. He would go and say, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, did you get a chance to see my wonderful creation, Eov? So Mashut Haaretz, he would scan the world and see what's out there. So Lashon Mashut, says the Gemara, is a something of Gzeir Shava, that he, even the Malach HaMavos, who would scan things, who would be Meshayit, who would swim or fly through, even he wasn't able to enter this Nachal. Amra Pindchas Mishum Rav Huna Tzipora Mayan Hayotu Mi Beis Kodshei Kadashim. The spring that came from the Kodshei Kadashim, B'tchila L'domei L'Karnei Chagavim. In the beginning, was very thin. It looked like it was as small as the horns of a grasshopper. Kevin Shegila Pasach HaHeichal. Once this little stream from the spring got to the entranceway or the exit from the Heichal, Nasa Kechut Shel Shesi, and got a little wider. Like the, is that wider or thinner? It's wider, okay, I wasn't sure. So Shesi, of the weaving, the Shesi, one of the directions of the weaving, it got that wide. Kevin Shegil Le'ulam, once it got to the outer hallway, Nasa Kechut Shel Ariv, it got a little thicker. And Kevin Shegil Pesach Zara, Nasa Kethi Pach Katan, the width of a small little container. V'hainu T'na, this is where the Mishnah teaches us. This Mishnah is found in the Midos. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Maim Mefachim, the Maim Mefachim, which Rashi is Lashon of HaPach, the water of the size of the Pach, that small little container, Asidin Lios Yotin Mitachas Mipsan Habayis. In the future, will be coming from underneath the Mipsan Habayis. From the entrance, it says the entrance of the Azara. Mikan ve'elach, from here on in, from there on, haya miskaber ve'ole, it's going to get stronger and stronger, ad shemagi lepesach beis David, until it reaches the entrance outside Yerushalayim. Kevin shemagi lepesach beis David, nasa kenacha shotev, once it reaches there, it's going to become very, very powerful, strong, strong river. Sheborochtin zavin v'zavos v'nidos v'yodos, an area where the various people who are tamei will be rochets washin. Shenemar b'yomahu ye mekor niftach lebeis David. And that day in the future, olam ha'a, and las lavo, in times of Mashiach, there will be the mekor, that the source, the mayan, the spring, is going to be open to the house of David. Will Yosha Yerushalayim end for the use of all those who live in Yerushalayim? Lechatas lunida, for those people to wash. So we'll finish with this. Amar Rav Yosef, mikan remez lenida shetshicha leishev ad tzavara b'mayim. So from here we see that, what does it say? The pasuk says, liyoshve Yerushalayim ulenida. Tells me the halacha is that when Anita goes into the mikvah, she's supposed to sit down in the mikvah up until her neck. Les hilchsa kavase, we don't paskin that way. Okay, so a very interesting... discussion. The toast on the top here, just for a second, we still have a few minutes. Toast on the top here, he says, Mikan remet lenida shetshich leishev at tzavar b'mayim. Toast asks, Shalu, Mikami Rav Yehuda go'on zetzal, tfilas nida midiraisa minalan. How do I know that nida has to go into the mikvah midiraisa? V'heishiv kavachomer mimaga. We have a kavachomer from maga. Just like a maga, a person who's touched by nida, has to go into the mikvah, then certainly the source of the tumah, the nida themselves, has to go into the mikvah. Rabbi Natan Pirish Dinafka Midichsiv B'mei Nida. The pasuk B'mei Nida. I think it's referring to Tvilas Kalim. Came to Clay Midyan. So Klai Yisrael had all the various Kalim they took from all the spoils from war. The Torah says you have to be you have to kasher them. You have to do Hagalas Kalim first. You have to also do Tvilas Kalim. What do you do Tvilas Kalim? The pasuk says B'mei Nida. You put it in B'mei Nida. So they learn from there. It has to be the Rabbi Natan says that's the source that B'mei Nida, the waters of the Nida. Those same waters, the Nida has to be Tovel in as well. So Machlok is what exactly the source is for Nida. Oh yeah, that's what he's talking about. He quotes, V'darshinan, Masechas Avodas Kochavim, Avodas Zara, that is, Mayim Shanida Tovelas Bahem. That's a Gemara. Avodas Zara talks about Tefilas Kalim. And Rabbi Yitzchak Perish, Midichsiv V'hadava B'nidasa, V'darshinan B'perek B'maisha B'nidasa Atehei Ad Shetava B'mayim. You're going to always be in the state of Nida until the Gemara Darshans, until you undergo the process of Tevila. Okay, so three different sources, three different opinions, what the source of Tevila is for Nida. Okay, so we'll stop here. Very interesting daf today.